for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in the games meek by my to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, please do a 5-star rating and a written review. Watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support the show financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, but of course, the Comsay shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it.
Yeah. All right. So, first of all,
yeah.
Fuck Netflix. Okay.
Oh!
So, following on from last week,
I'm just going to write this down. Fuck. That's the timestamp. Fuck Netflix. Boom.
I've taken a little backseat to gaming for the last couple of weeks. I've been watching a lot of TV, getting back in. A lot of my shows have like either started up again or are finishing. So, like The Boys, for instance, had their season finale this week. Brilliant.
I'm still in season one. So,
Cobra Kai is back.
Oh.
Yeah, no, fuck Netflix.
Oh.
You're like, it's the final season.
Oh.
Get amped. We're gonna do an extra 5 episodes. We're gonna do 15 episodes instead of 10. Part 1, part 2, part 3, baby. 4 months apart.
5-5-5?
5-5-5 with a 4-month break.
Four months.
No, they're dropping 5 episodes. So they drop 5.
Okay.
Then it's a 4-month gap. And they drop 5. Then it's a 4-month gap. And then they'll drop the final 5.
Oh, streaming services have fucking ruined consumption of TV.
So I watched all 5 episodes. Brilliant. Love it. And then I'm like, oh, when can I watch the next lot? Because normally part 1 and part 2, there's like, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe a month. Oh, it's not until the end of fucking November.
Yeah.
I'm going, cool, when's part 3? Oh, there's no date. It's just 2025. You'll get it at some point.
See, this is where my issue with binge culture is, and mostly it stands from my inability to hold an attention span for like long enough to fucking do a whole session. If that was released weekly, that's 5 weeks. 5 weeks. That wait till November, suddenly less gnarly when you don't watch all 5 episodes in a day.
I mean, to be fair, even if they release it on a weekly schedule, it would still be 3.5 months between...
Yeah, but slightly better.
Between episodes.
But also, why didn't they do it 7 and 7?
Why didn't they just fucking drop them all? They're clearly done.
Maybe they're not. Once again, like, we say that, like, they're clearly done, but, like, you know, when we did, Phoebe's only getting a black screen. What's going on? Hang on, let me check. Are we doing the things?
No, I'm getting a network error as well on our screen.
Oh, fascinating. Oh, well.
Oh, well. You're just like, podcast numbers are better anyway.
That's true. I'll stop the stream and then I'll come back in and see if that does anything.
Yeah, it was working at the start because I had the
Yeah. So when I transitioned to the other screen, can I access the specified channel? Please double check your stream key. Okay. You know what? Well, I guess we're not recording live anymore. Can you chuck in the chat? It looks to be a tech issue, like a stream key issue. And I can't be fucked doing it right now. But yeah, so my issue is the weekly drop is king, right? Because A, it gives you something to do, and the best part about Yeah, it's absolutely, yeah, too lazy to fix it. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. The weekly is king because, weekly, A, it's, you know, it's the best. Best way to consume stuff because you get a week, right? Like, what was the best part about, like, Breaking Bad, best part about fucking Game of Thrones? It was the conversation that happened each and every week. Now, furthermore, to demonstrate a point, you're like, oh, clearly the episodes are all done. You and I watched The Last of Us no less than a month early, and they were not ready.
Yeah, but they also didn't release them. Like, it wasn't out.
Yeah, like, so we saw that, like, literally a week before, 2 weeks before, not even, like, what we saw was, like, you guys are pushing it to the fucking line. So, it's very likely that, you know, some of them, at least the first five, are done. And then they're probably, you know, I don't think they need 4 months. But then again, like, I don't think Cobra Kai is a show that requires an ungodly amount of
CGI.
So that is intriguing to me.
Yeah, look, it's still sucky. Like, I like being able to binge my shows. And, like, the week-to-week, you know, water cooler talk about what's the hotness is both good and bad, depending on, you know, what your schedule is. Can you watch the show when it premieres? Because if you can't, then you have to avoid everyone for the next X amount of time until you can watch it. Otherwise, it's filled with spoilers. You know, it's one of those things of, you know, if the ability to watch at my own pace is what I want. What I pay for. Like, if Netflix is like, hey, if you want to pay an extra $2.99 a month to not have part one and part two, I'd fucking do it.
What the fucking fuckballs?
Because I just, yeah, it's just so shitty. Also, The Boys is apparently not coming back until 2026 now.
Wait, you serious?
Yeah, next season, the final season won't be till 2026, apparently.
Ew.
Which is crazy to me. Obviously, we're halfway through 2024, so it's a full year and a half between seasons.
Yeah,
okay. The other thing is, the other fuck Netflix is, I've been watching The Rookie on Netflix. It's finally come to Netflix. They don't have the latest season. So it ends on a massive cliffhanger. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I wonder when season 6 is coming out. Season 6 is out. It's fucking 10 episodes because it got hit hard by the writer's strike.
Yeah.
But Netflix don't have it.
Interesting.
I'm like, you're out. Well, season 7's almost out. Why are you not? Why is season 6 not on Netflix? And then they're like, read down your terms of service and agree. I'm like, fuck you. Just
how about you fucking kiss my ass and just give me what I've asked for?
So, yeah, I've now run out of fucking TV again because I have to wait 4 months until part two. Although, in saying that, Umbrella Academy is out in like 2 weeks, so keen for that.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's part one and part two as well, so they can go fuck themselves.
Look, it's very possible. Like, it's like right now, right now I'm rewatching 30 Rock. That's what I'm currently watching. Oh, we're back. I fixed it, by the way, by doing absolutely nothing. It's just, apparently it's unstable. There's a poor network connection. So I don't know what that means. But we're back. yeah, so I'm watching 30 Rock again right now, and that show is still so goddamn brilliant. And, like, thankfully, it's because it's been on my list of shows to watch for the longest time. Because I've only ever watched, like, the first 3 seasons, I think. So I'm certainly in the stance of, oh man, wouldn't it be cool to, like, watch this and finish it.
With Alec Baldwin, right?
Yeah. Tina Fey, Alec Baldwin, Tracy Morgan. yeah, it's so fucking brilliant. Because it's, like, set on, like, a Saturday Night Live sort of esque show. Alec Baldwin, he hasn't shot anyone yet, so he's still very funny. Tina Fey is just absolutely incredible.
Come on.
Well, it's mostly for the joke. Like, don't get me wrong. Yes, he shot someone,
Don't Tenacious D me. Don't make me cancel our tour and split the band up.
Oh, that's a whole fucking thing. Yeah, look, I get it. Yeah, he shot someone. But why'd the prop master give him a real fucking gun? Why is the prop master not on trial, might I add? Because unless he pulled his own gun from home and shot a dude, I don't care enough to really know and or, as I said, care. But yeah, watch a lot of 30 Rock, which has been interesting. So like, why don't you sort of go... Oh, they were on trial. Good. Excellent.
Yeah,
see, that's pretty, how much I care. I didn't Google that. Shit.
I'm pretty sure they did.
The only clip... And she went to jail. Good. That is correct. Alec Baldwin, you know, whatever. Why don't you go like watch a show like that? Like 30 Rock or, I don't know, Gilmore Girls is fucking good.
Okay, the only show with Rock in the title that's worthwhile watching is Third Rock from the Sun.
No, I tried to watch that the other day and that first episode is fucking rough. Like, it's hard. But you know what I did down?
I've already watched my yearly binge watch of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, so good. How still good is that, guy? Have you done Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Mad Men?
I did Breaking Bad, was it last year or the year before when I got fucking gastro? I watched the entire thing between the toilet and the bed.
Have you watched Better Call Saul though?
Not yet.
There's a goodie, 7 seasons worth, and it's fantastic.
Cass keeps telling me to watch House of Dragons.
Yeah. Did you watch the movie El Camino?
It's a fucking movie?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's just after Jesse escapes. It's fucking incredible. It's really good. House of Dragon, my Game of Thrones has gone.
I did Prison Break recently.
Yeah, I'll talk about that. I played the fucking game today. what else? Yeah, what up, Mad Men?
Nah,
Mad Men came out the round about the same time. And it's like in that key AMC era, like it's literally the same station, the same network that ran The Walking Dead, that ran Breaking Bad. Like it was the beauty of TV.
Yeah, it can fuck off too.
What Walking Dead? Okay, yeah, Walking Dead can fuck off after like 2 seasons. First 2 seasons, sick. what else? What are some other really great shows? That 70s show?
Yeah, it's fine. I've watched it too many times.
You could do Community.
I want to do Shameless after watching the Bear. I kind of want to go back.
Yeah, that could work. Have you ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No.
Oh, there is your answer. Your answer. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You've got 13 seasons of exceptional Weeds, dude. It's funny that Mute says Weeds. That was just in my head a second ago. Was that?
I've done Weeds so many times.
Oh, dude, that actress, whatever her fucking name is, like, she's, like, hot as hell. And it made the show very interesting. And then season 3 was also really bad, so then I stopped watching it. The first 2 seasons of Weeds, ripper. The answer is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You have no idea how many memes you'll get the understanding for, which is incredible. It's Danny DeVito's best work. Rob McElhenney, Glenn Houghton, Charlie Day, kill it. We of course can't forget D, even though I can't remember her name right now. Oh, that's going to annoy me that I can't remember her name. It'll come to me. It's going to annoy me. Caitlin Olsen.
Yeah.
They're all incredible. It's so fucking good. It's on Disney Plus. That is your next show. Or at least give it the first 2 seasons. The first season is really short. No, the first season is literally like 6 episodes, but then Danny DeVito comes in at the end of the first season and that's where it turns.
Yeah.
Because the inclusion of Danny DeVito is the game changer. Brooklyn 9-9-1-1. Brooklyn 9-9-1-1.
Yeah. Too many times. Oh.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine was pretty good. I quite liked that a lot. I haven't finished
it. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is like background noise now. Kind of like when I'm like, something needs to be on.
Yeah, I'm doing that with The Simpsons right now.
Or Seinfeld or Big Bang Theory or just something that I don't have to pay attention to. There's just kind of noise in the background.
Like, I know this is not PlayStation at all, but like, Yeah, the
I'm watching all of this on my PlayStation.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, there you go. Sure, why not? Yeah, because like, Simpsons is that for me right now. Just having that on in the background. Futurama did that up until the point where I was like seasons that I hadn't seen. You've done Supernatural recently, hadn't you?
Oh, I still haven't finished it though.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's so dense.
I like the first like maybe four seasons, and then it just gets dumb.
Yeah, the second they get purgatory involved, I'm like, what? Like, and
I didn't mind the Leviathans, the big snake dudes.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
That were fine.
When they started murdering angels, and when they died, they would all sprawled out and had these big ash wings. Those shots were fucking incredible. But like, the problem with Supernatural is up until season six, I think they kept getting they got renewed in blocks, and then from six until 14, whenever they wrapped up 14, 16, like they were renewed season by season by season by season. So like, and there's never this good overarching story.
Yeah, because, I mean, it started off as, like, there was an overarching story, but essentially it was a Monster of the Week show. And then all of a sudden, it just got way too heavy, and I'm like...
With that in mind, X-Files.
Nah, I've tried
before. Monster of the Week. It's good shit. And, okay, the best part about watching X-Files now, because I did it again the other day, is how quickly the internet breaks that show. Like, immediately. They're like, because when everything could literally just be like, here's a file. Oh! Like, the cloud ruins all of it. Mobile phones, like, effective and good mobile phones ruin that show. It's awesome. So when you watch it in hindsight, being like, I could have resolved this with an SMS or a Zoom call, it does make it a lot more fun. So I guess the question here, before we, like, I know this, once again, still not PlayStation. The Dawson! Oh, that's right. So I did, because it's not on any service, so I did have to acquire it through alternate means. But I did download Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
One with Katie Segal. Because I remember watching it in bits and bits. But I watched an interview Katie Segal and her partner, her husband, who is the writer and creator of Sons of Anarchy, also put that on your list. They had an interview with the guy that played fucking Lex Luthor in Smallville. Oh, there's another one, Smallville. Smallville. Yeah. So they had a podcast and they were talking about how, you know, Katie had the issue of, you know, being the comedy actress after Married with Children. But then Sons of Anarchy is like, because when he wrote it, Sons of Anarchy, and he can't fucking think of his name, Kurt Sutter. Fuck, I love how my brain works. It doesn't, and then it just kicks in. Yeah, Kurt Sutter wrote it, and he wrote Gemma, the character, with Katie Segal in mind. And it broke her out as a dramatic actress. And I think Sons of Anarchy is exceptional. Have you watched that one?
I've watched some.
Yeah, what you should watch all of it. Don't watch Mayans, though, because I tried and it just didn't hook the same way. But if you want to think about a fun way to think about Sons of Anarchy, for a show that's full of sex and violence, none of them swear. None of them. There is no swears. It's fucking weird. And it's one of those things you don't realize until you watch it, then you go, huh, I just watched 7 seasons of this.
Like watching Harry Potter and realizing that in the first movie he does not cast a single smell.
Holy shit! Wait, but doesn't he?
Nope.
No, I'm like, doesn't he break the fucking chess pieces? But no, the playing the chess broke the chess piece. What? Are you serious?
Being a wizard, not casting a spell for an entire movie.
But, like, weren't they in fucking Charms and they did, like, Leviosa?
Nah, that was...
Like, at no point... So, at no point do we see Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter go, huh?
The only thing of note he does with his wand is shove it up a troll's nose. The booger stick.
But I assume when he holds it at Ollivander's and it goes, I assume that doesn't count.
That was the one choosing the wizard. He didn't do anything. He's just holding it. Not once does he actually.
So Harry passed his first year with no spells. Yeah. Oh, I saw a great meme today, by the way, that was like, wonder what Hogwarts is like now.
60% theory, 40% practical work. It's just P's get degrees.
Well, it's because I was like, wonder what Hogwarts was like post Harry Potter. And someone responded with, good, because he's not there. There's less drama. You know what probably happened? People learnt shit.
You know what happened? They managed to keep a teacher for more than 1 year.
Yeah. Gryffindor probably wasn't the fucking school, you know, school captain or whatever that year for 7 years in a row.
I love a good plot armor.
Some bitch. But okay, yeah, look.
Enough of what I've been watching this week.
Yeah, look, I'm going to have to... What was supposed to be like an introduction of like, oh, is 20 minutes deep, might I add. I'm looking the time since 20 minutes deep. Let's talk about what games that we've been playing. Now, the best part about what games we've been playing, I can now transition this to the conversation we just had. Because today...
I've been playing Sons of Anarchy.
I didn't know it was a Sons of Anarchy game, but I would play it.
Yeah, it was called Days Gone, right?
Ha! Yeah, essentially it was called Days Gone. Fuck, that was a good game too. So, when I sit here in my desk, and I look over a shelf that I have on that wall to that way, to my right, screen left, my PS3 sits up there. And then to the wall to my right, screen left once again, has my PS3, my PS2 games on it. And I sit here and I look at it, and I go, man, maybe I should pop out the old PS3 here and there. But today I finally did it. I finally bought the PS3 down off the shelf, took it into the lounge, plugged her all in.
Realized it doesn't support gigabit internet connections. Took 30 million years to do an update.
Well, actually, no, weirdly enough. So we'll get into there. So first thing did, obviously, I had to do an update because I haven't updated it since I got my PS4. Wow, I haven't updated since I got my PS4. That's not good. So that didn't take too long. You know, the Wi-Fi was not too bad. Only took 2G, no 5G Wi-Fi back then, baby. That didn't take too long. But everything else did. Because, dear God, is that fucking console slow. Now, I understand that was what we had at the time. And that's great. And we live in an SSD world now. But how did we do anything? Like, opening up the...
To be fair, some people had SSDs in their PS3s. I'm pretty sure they're just laptop hard drives, right?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
You could rip those.
Absolutely. So, I tried to go into the store and be like, let's have a look at what the store has.
You're like, the store doesn't work.
It took like 6 minutes for the store to open. After I updated it, because I forgot the store was an app on the PS3.
Yep.
Painful. And then strolling through it, and like, there's not a lot of expensive stuff on there, which really surprised me, but it was very much of like, these are all old. So once I got it all updated, had a thing, and I finally got my PS3 controller to charge because it also died after not being used for the better part of 10 years. I looked at my shelf, and I was like, what could I play? Going from A to Z, I'm like, oh, Bioshock. Oh, wait, I could play that on PS4. Okay, cool. Go down the list. Oh, the original Fallout. Yeah, I could play that on PC. Oh, Fear. Fear was a fucking fun first-person shooter. We kept going down the line. God of War Ascension. I played that in a little while. GTA 4, which I never finished. And I really like GTA 4. Especially Lost in the Damned. I really enjoyed that DLC. Having not... Like, I'd never played Ballad of Gay Tony, but apparently it's exceptional. Kept going down. I've got Killzone 1, 2, and 3. I was like, oh, maybe I could do Killzone again. That was fun. Kept going, you know, and then I was like, oh, there's the original Uncharted, but why does that matter? Skate 3. I could play Skate 3, I suppose. But then I decided, I could play, you know, Resistance was also an option. But I made my decision, and I settled on Prison Break. So, once again, tying with our discussion before, I adore Prison Break as a show. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I adored it. I loved it. All 5 seasons. Even though season 3 was a bit poo, 4 was okay, 5 was weird. But 1 and 2, impeccable. impeccable. The writer's strike absolutely killed that show. So when, I remember buying the game. I bought it from JB Hi-Fi. I couldn't tell you what day, but I probably could because the receipt's still inside the box. And I remember it being asshole. And now, granted, I'm a lot more patient with games now, which is weird. So I was like, I'm going to put it in. It's not good. There's a lot of stealth. But they did everything they could to, like, at least have the main cast, the actual actors in there. So we're still hearing Wentworth Miller, Dominic Purcell, you know, as Michael Scofield and Lincoln Burrows, you know, respectively. And that's nice. Like, you know, Teabag's there, John Abruzzi, Cena, like, all the main players are there, and it's cool. So the idea is that you are a man from the company. Now, Max, as someone that's watched Prison Break, I'm sure you're aware of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So the company is the large organization that sort of dictates controls and whatever, all the things. They're the ones that, you know, set up Lincoln Burrows, the killer of the vice president's brother. so you're playing an agent working on behalf of the company because they've noticed that Michael Scofield, Lincoln Burrows' brother, is suddenly in the same prison. Out of nowhere, robs a bank, gets thrown into prison, which is absolutely a fucking big plot hole in general for the whole show. But the whole show relies on that premise, so we don't talk about it.
Why is it a plot hole?
Because it's like, you know, from like a judge's perspective, like, you've done nothing, no crimes ever, and you just robbed a bank with two firearms. Like, you went straight from 0 to 11. Okay. It's just weird. Like, granted, it was all handed accordingly, but it's just interesting. So, yeah.
Were you upset in the fact that they sent him to prison and it's like a rehab center?
No, it's just like, I know for the benefit of the show it has to happen, but like, I do wonder that in like a, I don't know.
Well, that's why he was granted leniency. It was like, I want to...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the Reverend Puck in the chat does clarify, and that is absolutely true, and I was going down that path, is that when he's in the bank, he fires a gun, and that is what makes it a federal crime, and that's how he's able to get into Fox River. So, like, there are, like, there's plot armor in terms of it all happening, but, like, the reasoning is there. And I do love Prison Break for all its bullshit, even down to, like, all the various tattoos being a map and the little hints at shit that helps and, you know, like, the thing that tells him to get this Allen key from this space and then there's a little dot that matches the Allen key thingy so he can put it and open, you know, dismantle his toilet. Fucking love it. Fucking love it. Yes, you play this agent, you go in, and you've got to, like, suss out what's going on. So you are playing in the moment of the first season. Like, you are on the same prisoner transport that Michael Scofield gets on to get into Fox River. So you're in Fox River at the same time, and you are there until they escape. And you are just there to be a fly on the wall, get involved, you know, but also get involved and sort of see what's happening. So you got to get into PI and, you know, prison industries, etc., etc. Yeah, look, the game's not very good. It's reliant a lot on stealth mechanics, obviously, because you're in a prison, you've got a lot of sneaking, but the stealth mechanics are kind of ass. The game itself, there are moments when it looks really good, like the facial stuff of the cast is pretty good for what it was, but then there are times where the game looks kind of jank and simple. But I was trying to explain this to Phoebe, my partner, today. I was like, so, this is like, there is something beautiful in its simplicity, right? There's a lot of like flat grass, janky kind of like not smooth buildings. Everyone kind of walks a bit weird. Like, there's a beauty in the like, the transition from like HD to full HD, you know, like PS3 to PS4, like the power was there and it was starting to become something, but it was the early days. It was certainly better than PS2, but there is just a beauty in its jank. And I do wonder whether that's because the system that I really got into games in the capacity like I do now was PS3, where I started thinking about games more and playing games outside of my preferred genres. And I guess really when I started to like, it was more, I was like, what, 18? 18 when I got my PS3? So it was around really like sort of early formative years. So I'm very aware that it's probably sitting in a lot of nostalgia to be like, oh, this is why, you know, that the visuals and the design choices in a game from that time just hit very, very beautifully. But I am aware it's also fucking hideous and the lip sync sucks and the voice acting is garbage. Even the actors that are in the show somehow butcher their lines on the game and the lines are almost the same as the show. but I'm enjoying it. It's not like a particular reason. I was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll just, you know, pull it down off the shelf and give it a burl. It's something I've been wanting to do for ages. And I finally did it. So that was pretty cool. About yourself?
I played a new game this week.
A new game this week, Max?
Yeah, so I played... Let me pull it up here. I played Throne and Liberty Beta. I played the Throne and Liberty Beta. So Throne and Liberty is an upcoming MMORPG from NCSoft. Published by Amazon Games, and it's exactly that. It's a big MMORPG that's coming to PC, PlayStation, Xbox soon. It's a pay-to-play. It's currently sitting at, according to the PlayStation Store, $60 to buy in, to get just like the standard pack, which is cool. So they're running an open beta weekend. At the moment, I played it for about an hour. I didn't put too much time into it. Controller mapping of MMOs with lots of skills and stuff can be tedious at times. This game handles it pretty well. I must admit, though, visually, it does look fucking stunning.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the better looking MMOs that I've seen in recent times, like better than like New World from...
that was also from Amazon. From last year.
It was also from Amazon Games. So I don't know much about the story at the moment. I played through the tutorial area, did a few things, and then kind of dipped out. It seems very focused on events. So every hour, the world map will ping, like, hey, there's a world boss over here. Hey, there's an event over here. Hey, come do this over here. So you're kind of just running around. One of the big things that I noticed is you can teleport across maps once you've been to areas. You can kind of unlock fast travel for each of the towns. There is seamless loading from teleporting from one city to another across the world map. It's just like you do your channeling for 2 seconds, which is probably hiding in like an invisible load screen, and then you just ping across, and there you go.
Is it? I forget what game it was. I remember there being a thing about when it came to game, and they're like, "Oh no, we have to actually make an artificial load screen because it's instantaneous with the SSD, but like we just kind of have to hold something there for like 10 seconds." So not-
well, I know when Witcher 3 was played on newer consoles, that you would spawn before the world spawned around you, and you'd just fucking die because you'd be stuck under the map because you would have nothing to stand on.
Ah, that's rad. I love that. The character a lot.
Would spawn in before the rest of the world would spawn in.
That's awesome. That's so good. I love that.
Other than that, more Destiny stuff.
So, but to go back to that though, like the Throne and Liberty, like you mentioned that this is like a different kind of MMO. Because as someone like right now, like me, I have put an ungodly amount of like time in Elder Scrolls Online. That's the only other thing I played really this week. So, like, it's actually a good way for us to seam it together. But like, I guess the question is like, what is this doing? And also, if you can put it in the context of the Elder Scrolls Online, that'd be really good, so I can understand what you're talking about. But, like, what is it that it's doing differently? How is it? Is it tickling your brain in a different way to, say, Final Fantasy did, or WoW did, or whatever other MMOs that you've played?
Yeah, so obviously, like, it looks a lot more stunning than WoW and Final Fantasy does. I'd say it looks better than Elder Scrolls as well.
Elder Scrolls is a little soft in some places. Like, yeah. It's not brilliant.
So... from what I've seen, like the biggest gimmick is the player can morph into different animals depending on the situation. So, like for instance,
that sounds like that. What was that Wild game that never came out?
Maybe. So when you start sprinting, you like leap forward and like morph into like a lion or a tiger. You sprint really fast. If you jump in the water, you turn into an otter and you can.
Animorphs, the game.
Yeah, it's Animorphs.
But that is your series. Go download Animorphs again.
Oh, jeez, that's ancient.
Yeah, it'd be horrible.
Like in early on, there's like the keeper of the gate, who's like he's like this tiny little fucking dude. He's like, I'll open the gate for you. He turns into this massive fucking colossus rock monster and just wheels the gate down. I'm like, it's cool. Like I said, I didn't play much into it. They specifically said, hey, we don't care how much you play this open beta. Nothing is carrying across to the to the main game. So that kind of instantly turned me off. But yeah, it's doing some interesting.
Oh yeah, because yeah, in terms of like in time invested, like the beta is really cool. But if you have to do this all again,
yeah. So it does a lot similar to, you essentially can have like a weapon loadout. So you'll have one weapon in like loadout one, and you'll have a second. So if you want to do like sword and then bow or axe. And whatever, and then as you flick between them, it'll instantly change your hotbar to the relevant skills that you're using for.
So that's the same as Elder Scrolls.
So it's similar to Elder Scrolls, yeah. So it'll have mapped to each of the face on controller. It has four skills mapped to the face buttons, and then as you progress, I would assume you level up, you gain your skills, you go and pick a class or do any of those things. So when you start the game, it doesn't have you pick a class. So I have no idea if there is a class system or not. You kind of just create your character. Like in most MMOs, it's got a pretty robust character designer. I kind of just wanted to dive in, so I just selected one of the pre-made characters. People, if you are into it, you can kind of create characters and upload them to the servers, and people can download your character avatar and use it to play. So I would imagine that people much more artistically impressive than myself will make fantastic things that I will one day use. But yeah, like I said, I barely touched the surface of it. I kind of just did the tutorial area. I stumbled across it as I was just scrolling through YouTube shorts and someone was playing it. I'm like, oh, this kind of looks cool. I'm looking for a new MMO. And then they're like, hey, it's an open beta weekend. It's available on PlayStation. So I jumped on the PlayStation app, downloaded it to my console, jumped on, and I'm like, this is cool. NCSoft did Guild Wars 2, is their big one. So they know what they're doing. For MMOs anyway, like Guild Wars 2 is a fantastic MMO. But Guild Wars 2 is now free to play. This is a $60 buy-in. But yeah, like I said, visually, very impressive. But I haven't put enough time into it to see if it's all just bells and whistles or if it has, you know, a decent skeleton behind it.
Yeah. Okay. So I assume it's fantasy themed as well, right?
Obviously. Oh, yeah.
With a name like Thrones and Liberty, like you could clearly...
Yeah, you know, the first enemies that I'm fighting were like tree ant motherfuckers that were just like smacking people around. I'm like, all right. So yeah, right up my alley with a new MMORPG. But yeah, the $60 price tag is interesting, and then depending on
what it is, we can talk about $60 entry, but shortly. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you, you know, leading into that, did you play the Concord beta this weekend now that it's gone open?
I downloaded it again. So I played majority of the Concord beta on PC. But we'll talk more about it as part of the news because it is the name of the episode. Mm-hmm. Also, hey, Blair, what's going on? I downloaded it back, and then the one thing I did notice was that they've opened up another set of modes. So originally you'd have the essentially kill confirmed and team deathmatch, and then you had what was there? Was it domination where you die and there's no respawns, right?
Search and destroy.
Search and destroy. Thank you. And then the next one is like what's the fucking package? You know where you've got to like maintain holds and. Fuck, I don't remember Call of Duty names of the shits that well. you know, where there's like three, you know, A, B, and C. You've got
That's domination.
Thank you. That might be domination. There you go. So there was a bit more, so there was a second mode of that, which was interesting. I didn't play it because I was going to, and then I was had my son, and he called out to me. So I was like, oh shit, because it was nighttime, so I closed the game and went and sorted that out, and then I just went to sleep. Did you go at it again?
Not at all.
No. Okay.
Not at all. I noticed that they did add, yeah, so it was four game modes this weekend of five maps.
Yeah.
So they do have more than the map that I played on.
Yeah, and like I did ending up experiencing all of the three maps, because you know how we're like, oh, I think I've only experienced two of the maps. Literally, I played a couple of rounds after we recorded last week, and then I got the other map. And I was like, oh, and they that one does look distinctly different. Like all the things I was shitting on it for last week, I was like, oh, okay, cool. It does feel different. Having now played it more, I do very, very clearly have my character, which is the dude with like the Tommy gun, and he wears like the turquoise teal jacket, and the fucking hippie circle glasses. He was pretty cool. Oh,
the guy with the healing orbs that you didn't know what they did.
Oh yeah, you know what? I worked that out too. Literally, the first round after that, you throw them and then you just walk through them, and that triggers them. Mm. Didn't know that. Because every other player is like, it's distance based, like it's a grenade or whatever. Like, it makes no sense to be able to lob something really far and then have to walk through it. Dumb. But yeah, I once I nailed that, was good. I enjoyed it. Actually, do you want to just get into the? Let's just do it now.
Yeah,
this is the section we call "Inform the Players." We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, let's just go to the main bit of news.
Cool. Alright, so Concord's open beta began this weekend on PlayStation 5 and PC, welcoming anyone and everyone into the hero shooter. The celebratory moment is in danger of being overshadowed by talk of the game's player count, however. The previous early access beta, which ran from the 12th of July to the 14th of July, so last weekend, reportedly struggled to attract a PC audience. User numbers on Steam, as per Steam database, didn't paint a very pretty picture, with the beta pulling just over 1,100 players at its peak. As you can imagine, a lot of doom and gloom has spawned from such a realization, and many are already wondering whether Concord's going to be dead on arrival once the full game drops on the 23rd of August. However, while there's no denying that Steam numbers are somewhat concerning, we do think detractors are jumping the gun. After all, we don't know how well the early access beta performed on PlayStation 5.
Correct.
And there's a simple fact that getting into said beta required a pre-order on the platform of your choice. There was always going to be some discussion over Concord's $40 US price tag, I think it's 60 here, which could end up being a key factor in terms of the game's overall success. Even if it turns out to be the greatest PvP shooter the world has ever seen, it's going up against the slew of eternally popular free-to-play titles that offer incredibly similar gameplay experiences. As I'm downloading the Marvel Rivals test, I got accepted into the beta earlier today.
So, all right, we talked about this last week, all right? So is there some doom and gloom with Concord? Yeah. Yeah, there is. And that doom and gloom comes in what was originally meant to be a completely closed beta, only to those that pre-ordered, or like us, media, content creators that were given free access codes, which is what we did.
Yeah.
So that tells you that pre-order numbers were insufficient. That should be a point of concern.
They opened it up to everyone on PlayStation Plus.
Correct. I do believe that using Steam numbers is disingenuous for that reason. A, that it you had to be able to pre-order it on PC to be able to play it. Mm. Especially on the post Helldivers nonsense. And because you have to log into your PSN, their market's restricted. And everyone, and due to the hubbub of, oh, I'm not making a fucking PSN, no one would have done it. So I think the numbers reflective on console will likely be substantially higher. Yeah, because I think using Steam is a loaded circumstance. Do you want to comment on that before we jump into the actual like game itself and why it might not be very good?
I agree to a degree.
you agree to a degree, yeah.
So like obviously, yes, it's a loaded statistic because obviously, but it's also 50% of the systems that it's available on. If it doesn't sell well on PC, it doesn't realistically, unless it sells absolute gangbusters on PlayStation, it's not going to make a difference. And those people who can't make PlayStation networks in their country to play on PC also can't make accounts on their PlayStations anyway.
Correct.
So it's not like...
because they're not sold there.
Yeah, so it's not like they're not... So, yeah, they're kind of... there obviously is that bad blood with PC players going, we don't really want to do this. But a lot of them have already done it to play Helldivers. So it's not like...
yeah, but what I mean is...
This game isn't going to bring anyone new to the fold and be like, this is what I'm going to make a fucking PlayStation Network
for. But yeah, like, so now expanding to the next part, because it does kind of come through, in that, obviously the PlayStation, if you had PS Plus, you got in. It didn't get you into the PC beta, from my understanding. Want to check it? Puck, fact check. But my understanding is if you had PS Plus, it didn't get you into the PC beta, only the console. No. Right? So, no one was going to rush out and buy this game on PC or pre-order it, because I don't think the hype is that insane for it.
They also didn't announce that it was going to be open to everyone on PlayStation Plus until...
like 2 days before.
The day before or something. Because we got notified that we were getting keys right after they made the
announcement. Yeah, announcement, and then literally 2 hours later, they're like, hey, you're going to send you keys. I'm like, well, you just announced 2 hours ago it's coming to fucking PS Plus. But okay, sure.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think that's a big part of it, right? Especially in a market like PC where hero shooters like this are dime a dozen. And the ones that are, you know, owning the place, whether it be Valorant or... Overwatch or whatever, like even Apex, Warzone, like there's so many other shooters that people will probably spend their time on that, like, PC is interestingly not the market for this game. Like, I think PlayStation had the intent of, by putting it on PC, it will open up the potential market base, the market share, and the customer base, but you know, they knew it's going to be a console thing. So, because playing it, I enjoyed it in the time that I had, but it felt like the same enjoyment that I had when I played Call of Duty at its peak, or even now when I play Call of Duty, right? I'll go in, play it for like a short window of time, and then I'm out. Like, you and I played DMZ pretty regularly for like a couple months, and then I sort of wandered off, and you kept going. And then I never went back.
And then they stopped updating it, and then they just...
and then it died, which is still bullshit, by the way. But what I mean by that is the game itself, there is nothing solely unique that would hook me in to keep going back. The weekly cutscenes are cool in concept. And watching them, because it was this week, had a different one to last week, I was like, oh, cool. Was it so, like, fundamentally life-changing that I can't wait to go back to the next one? Nope.
The other thing is, who plays hero shooters for a story?
Well, like, I think the main drive of this is because of Overwatch and Overwatch's story-based character build-up doohickeys. Like... they didn't do it for me because I didn't like Overwatch. I tried it because I had friends that were like, you know, open to it. I was like, yeah, I'll give it a bell. Why not? Didn't do it for me. And by extension, like, yeah, they've tried to do the Overwatch sort of hero shootery. It feels very Overwatch. And I haven't played Valorant, but apparently this game is very Valorant as well. Can you speak to that?
It's less like Valorant. Valorant is... Valorant is if Counter-Strike had hero shooter characters. Mm-hmm. So, like, character abilities. Because obviously...
some of the levels feel very Counter-Strike.
Because at the start of your round, you buy the weapon that you want to use that round. And
okay.
You really buy decent guns if you did well the round before. And it's that risk-reward of, like, do I buy really shitty stuff here and try and pop off so I can buy something better the next round? Or do I spend all my money and run the risk of dying straight away and then I have no money for the next round?
Yeah.
Like, Valorant is more like Counter-Strike, whereas this would be more like Overwatch, where it's just a straight up that you pick your hero, that hero has that specific gun, it will always have that specific gun. There's no weapon swaps, you can't kill someone and pick up their gun. It's just you pick and you get what you get, that's it.
So even with that in mind, right, like it feels like it's a carbon copy of a couple of different games, or they've clearly taken elements of games and brought them together. Now, that's not always a bad thing. Like, I forget the game, but there was a game that we reviewed recently, and I think I said to you, like, as I'm playing this, I can clearly see all the inspirations that make this game. And this game is literally better for it. Like, the fact that I can see each little bit of influence makes it better. It's and it, the only example that I can think of is music, right? Like I listen to a lot of Bad Omens, The Death of Peace of Mind, and there are certain songs like that's Linkin Park inspired, that's Limp Bizkit inspired, that's just the fucking Deftones. You know what I mean? Like I'm listening to that album, there's all these tracks, I'm like that's just Parkway Drive, but I love it for that. Right? Because it's like, we bought in our influence, but we've expanded on it and grown it. And I forget, I wish I could remember what that fucking game was. But there was one I'm like, oh, it's just this and just this and this, and I love it. It's brilliant. Where here, I'm not getting that, right? Like, the characters themselves aren't hooking me in terms of personality or, like, yes, they are all clearly identifiable. Yes, all their skill sets and weapons are unique. Big thumb. In terms of that setup, but like aside from I like that guy because I like that gun, that's it.
Yeah,
like you know it doesn't hook me. And even then the modes are so carbon copy. It's TDM death, it's TDM kill confirm destroy,
but I mean you know, every, search and destroy. Every shooter has the same game modes
exactly, but like what I mean by that is like yeah, but sometimes they can feel different. And as someone that like comes and goes when it comes to multiplayer shooters, to come in and go, oh, it's exactly that, it detracts from me. It's not a selling point for me. Because if I want to play TDM, I'll go play Call of Duty and then get really mad at it and then stop playing Call of Duty.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's so hard to innovate in that space. Because, like, obviously, Kill Confirmed is not new anymore. When it was new, I'm like, but it's just TDM with extra steps.
Yeah, it's unlike TDM, but removing camping, and I love it. I love Kill Confirmed way more than TDM.
No, because then you just do what everyone else did and you just camp the tags. So, because obviously you get points back if you recover your own tags. Mm. You just fucking sit there and wait for the guy to come back. They're still camping. I would argue it's worse in Kill Confirmed than
I guess it depends. TDM. Or how I play changes because of Kill Confirmed. But,
yeah. But, I think the biggest stickler and the biggest hurdle that this game is going to face is the fact that it is competing against free-to-play game.
Yeah, and that's the next part, right? Like, there's all these games, as I said, Dime a Dozen, especially with Overwatch 2, which is also free-to-play. Like, that is the hurdle that you are going to have. Now, granted, we discussed this before we started recording. Playing the beta, like, I can see where the microtransactions are, and they do appear to, like, I would imagine they're in variants in like color, and that's it. It's purely cosmetic. And even what's interesting as well is you can't share, because one of the things interesting is like you can get variants, right? So you can get this character with this fucking power set, and then you can get that same character over here with a different power set, and that's cool, except the cosmetics that if you were to have the same, you were to buy like a purple shirt for this character, both variants can't wear it. Only one variant can wear it. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like if you're like, oh, I love this cosmetic, but you have to then pick your preferred. And if you're building like a roster of your set of free runners, like you can pick multiple variants in the same like batch. You know what I mean? Like, that is an interesting decision. And then we'll come back to it. Because like, it's one of those things where it's like one of the other things that this game doesn't have, there is no penalty for quitting. Zilch. So the amount of people that will be like, just starting to lose, and they quit.
Well, there's no repercussions yet. We are still in a beta.
Absolutely. But like even in some capacity, it'd be like, all right, well, you're going to get bummed a little bit because of it. But yeah. So I
mean, usually it's just a fucking longer queue time. It's not like it.
Or you get dropped into like a, you know, it's like those old hacker cheater servers where they just bump you in with a bunch of other hackers and cheaters and let you guys have a seizure over there. Yeah, so like the micros, I can see where they sit and it's purely cosmetic. But even then, at least from what I've seen, none of them are singing to me.
But the thing is, in every hero shooter, they're all purely cosmetic.
And that's what I'm getting at is it's the same. So with a $60 asking price, and then it's the same as every other game. Like there is nothing about Concord that makes me go, oh, it's a must play because it is so different. And when you're in an economy of time. And what these games need to do is hook you away from your Destinies or whatever other game that is you're playing. There, I'm seeing nothing within Concord that could do that. Sorry, I'll let you talk now. I've been fucking ranting for ages.
No. I'm in the same boat. Like I said last week, you know, it's really hard to go, hey, I'm the new hotness, but you have to pay $60 to play me. When, like I said, Marvel Rivals is just around the corner, free to play with a known and loved IP. There's Overwatch, which has been out for forever and a day. Free, has absolute banger cosmetics, microtransactions.
It's all loot boxy and bullshit and whatever. But I mean, like the effort that they've put into and they've demonstrated like a catalog of cool cosmetics for your. So if you fucking love Tracer, you could get a near endless shit for Tracer. Make her exactly like you would want.
They did one a couple of weeks ago, and I think they turned Reinhardt into fucking Optimus Prime. I'm like, that's rad.
Oh, that would be dope. Is Reinhardt the big old monkey?
Reinhardt's the big tanky guy. No, Reinhardt's the big tanky guy with the big giant fucking hammer.
Okay.
Winston is the...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just one of those things, like, in a space where there's all this stuff that already exists... That has no entry, like no point of entry cost. It's really hard to, one, it's a new IP. The characters are brand new, so there's no like pre-love or nostalgia for them. It's just a pay $60 to possibly like this game. And in today's current financial climate, $60 is not an insignificant amount of money anymore. On a game that you may or may not like.
Now, granted, that's like an equivalent of a $30 title in the US. So it's like down the middle. It's half a cost of a game. It's substantially cheaper than the next Call of Duty. Well, maybe, you know, or whatever.
But you know what still stands. But you know what you're getting in a Call of Duty. It's a known IP.
Yeah, you'll know and you'll play it for a month and then get disappointed.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really hard to see. What's going to happen.
But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on Concord. Those listeners, watchers, viewers, people that check out our shit, chuck them in the comment below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We're in a very lucky position where we will no doubt get access to the title through PlayStation. So we'll probably play its full release version and tinker with it. But... you know, that's it. Once again, that's that privileged position that we are in. So, like, for us, the cost, quote-unquote, of the game is a non-factor. But, we do our best to see that how that fits.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the next piece of news. Still time to go pro, says Max. An innocuous tweet from gaming tipster Tom Henderson appears to have been taken out of context, as the writer has provided an update on the PS5 Pro. Based on his knowledge, according to Insider Gaming, devs will be required to support Sony's supercharged system from the 15th of September. And while this doesn't mean a release date will immediately follow, it certainly suggests that the hardware will be available in time for the holidays. Yeah. Henderson doesn't know a date, but previously obtained documentation alluded to a November 2024 target, and the scribe goes on to hypothesize that PlayStation's sudden appearance at TGS, or Tokyo Game Show, as well as China, in a similar time frame, after years of overlooking major conventions, suggest that May reveal the system on home soil as part of this year's show. And we'll find out more as we can. Now, Max, looking at this, I'm in the same boat. Like we predicted November, both PS3, PS5, PS4, PS3, I can't remember, but they had all released in that November window. It's right after, you know, Black Friday, but right before Christmas. Yeah, it's right before Christmas, right after Black Friday. So you skip that sale, but everyone will spend their money or not spend on Black Friday to buy the PS5 Pro. It'll be announced in like August. You know, give it two month cycle to not drastically impact PS5 purchases, to then have it release in November. Very similar to the PS4 Pro, there was a same cutoff that was like, hey, any game released from this day or, you know, in development from this day onwards must support the PS4 Pro in this capacity, yeah. Right?
That's interesting. So Tokyo Game Show starts on the 26th of September.
Oh, there you go. They're pushing it real fucking close then.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of it seems like news to me.
Yeah.
Like, we're fucking nobodies, and it's just purely speculation. It's just
common practice of what they do for the past two generations.
Yeah. Yeah. But look, I guess for expanding on that, though, we're about to get a possibly more open PlayStation for a moment. We went from no conventions to now doing both the Tokyo Game Show and then the China. It's like CNEES or something. Yeah, so that's where they're going, and they're going to showcase all of the China Hero Project titles, as well as like Astro Bot and a couple other things. And I think that's before Astro Bot release. I couldn't remember the date, but I know it's before Astro Bot releases. So it's probably early September. Will they reveal stuff there? No. But they're showing, they're demonstrating that they're actually stepping out again, which means they have shit to announce, they have shit coming. Pardon me, there's a confidence that they have something to say. Yeah, I don't know how to expound on that any further, really, because it's like,
yeah, it's yeah, that's not much.
Yeah, the CIGA, that's not the one. That might be the one. Yeah, the China Interactive Game Association or event or something. It used to have a longer name. It was like the Chinese something Entertainment Expo and Convention or something. It was a whole thing. But yeah.
Football.
Whoa!
So it's nothing new to the games industry, but it's probably something that you're going to see a lot more of. 2.2 million people coughed up $99.99 US to purchase EA Sports College Football
24
Deluxe Edition, which launched 3 days early on the 16th of July. The game is available for everyone as of today. No, yesterday. Yeah. The launch day for EA Sports College Football 25, regardless of what the executives tell you, was the 16th of July. Correct. It's just peasants purchasing the standard edition and being forced to wait an additional 3 days. You're going to see more and more publishers adapt this strategy moving forward. Yep. It should be noted that the deluxe edition does actually come with some additional in-game content on top of the earlier release date. So there is inherent value there. But clearly the push for $70 games hasn't been enough, and publishers are finding crafty ways to drive those prices higher. Rumor has it Rockstar is going to make a killing when inevitably it follows the same strategy for GTA 6 next year when they charge you $99.99 US to play the game 3 days early. The enthusiasm for EA Sports College Football 25 is incredible, and it tagged on another 600,000 players prior to its official launch through the subscription EA Play. These are staggering numbers, and you're probably going to see the game absolutely explode over this current weekend. Analyst Matt Piscatella said this, quote, may indeed be the mass market breakout hit this console generation really needs, end quote. The interesting thing about this game, however, is that while these numbers are absolutely extraordinary, its success is likely to be centralized in a single country. Correct. While American football has gained in popularity throughout Europe and over the past decade, resulting in regular competitive games in London and Munich. The fascination predominantly revolves around the NFL as opposed to the college leagues itself.
That is absolutely correct. So the NCAA games are huge. There's not been one in like a decade. Now, once again, everything I'm speaking to is just the things that I've listened to or read or watched or whatever, right? Because obviously, I'm not a big NFL fan. I'm becoming an NRL fan because I watched State of Origin the last two games, and it was fucking insane. It was like the wrestling of rugby. It was dope. Loved it. Loved
Mate,
it.
You have no skin in the game. Not only does our
That's what made it better. That's what made it better. Because I was like, I don't care who wins. I just want to watch dudes run at dudes, and it was fantastic.
That's what I watched, dude.
Yeah, well, they fucking pummel each other. It was incredible. Having the return of the college football game is massive.
I want to play this.
Like,
I want to play this.
And the beauty about it, it's the first time that any of the players have likeness rights and they're getting paid for being in the game. That in itself is a huge, huge thing. Title episode, dude rushing at other dudes. Yeah. So, like, that's a big factor as well, the drought of time to get this back. And for many people, college football is better than the NFL. Because they're like, they go harder or whatever. But it's kind of like watching, like, the indies compared to the, you know, the big wrestling. Or, yeah, like, the VFL compared to the AFL.
They have to go hard. So
they've got something to prove, yeah.
But, you know, yeah.
And that makes it a lot of fun. So, like, it's no surprise this game's doing really, really well. But I think that the bigger brunt of what this is saying is the 3-day early access isn't early access. It's just pay to play early. Like, it's just, that's what it is. It's just, you have more money, you get it on release day. Everyone else has to fucking wait. And it's been that way for years. Like, yeah, that understanding.
You're not paying extra to play it 3 days earlier. You're paying less to play it 3 days later.
Yeah. And in the, like, it's the, and by extension, right? Like, it's, you know, the $60 is not the price of a game anymore. It has been for years. US prices, right? And because people get suckered in, they do the 3 days. You know, or the deluxe edition, and like that. This is Ubisoft were the founders of this principle. You're creating six different versions of the game, spanning from $60 US up to $200 US. Right, knowing full well that anyone that gives a shit would pay the $200 to get the 3 days early access plus all the additional digital garbage. Right. And out of that fear of missing out, you know, my collection will be incomplete because I didn't have it, right? And I'm very aware of that because I have done that in the past. I intentionally bought Arkham City from a specific store and pre-ordered over here, but bought it here so that I get the pre-order code for this particular suit over here, but then I got bought this one here, which then gave me a different... You know what? Like, I made sure I wanted all the fucking possible costumes and stuff for Arkham City because I loved Arkham Asylum so much. So I did that. You know, because I wanted all of it. Because back then it was like, this is completely exclusive. You won't be able to get this unless you buy it from here, whatever. Right? Because it was that may have been Arkham. Yeah, but I think it was Arkham City. No. Maybe an Arkham Knight, because there was like a Harley Quinn mission set that were only available through a pre-order, through GameStop. So like it works. It fucking works. Oh, I think it was the Catwoman DLC. Maybe the Catwoman DLC. So Mute in the chat is confirming that was City. I think that was the Catwoman stuff. Yeah. So the cost of entry has gotten greater, and so, you know, like all the arguments about, hey, games are too expensive. Like, well, yeah, but like they're not cheap either. You know what I mean? Like because the amount of people that play games that are neurodivergent is fucking staggering. And that with that neurodivergency comes ways that these people can be manipulated. As someone who is neurodiverse in two different ways, my brain is intentionally exploited by these companies. They would push at my fear of missing out, my rejection sensitivity, my impulse, my, you know, all the different parts of my brain that would, they can go quink and get my money. Like, I'm very lucky that my anxiety is so high that it prevents me from doing dumb purchases. Otherwise, I would be the whales that they hear about when it comes to microtransactions. And there are times where I would go, oh, 3 days early. Ooh. Now, granted, once again, I haven't bought a game in ages, but I can see how it exploits people. Are you someone that gets hooked? Because I'm pretty sure there's been times you're like, oh, 3 days.
I'm trying to remember the last thing that I like pre-ordered that I would have paid to get early access to. Because generally speaking, it's not a lot that did it for me. I think I got... Dude, I don't know. Can't remember the last game that I actually... I mean, obviously the last game I bought was Elden Ring because I fucked up. It's always hilarious. But I think the last one I got 3 days early access for was... I want to say it was like Forza or something, to be honest with you. Mm.
Yeah, it probably would have been. Like, so in the chat, Blair goes, 3 days if I'm keen on a game might be worth it. And they, you know, the what we just read cites GTA 6. GTA 6 will do this. And because...
I think the big thing is if it's a multiplayer game, if I know that the friends I'm going to play with are getting the 3 day early access, that's what makes me get it.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like, I don't want to be 3 days behind you pricks.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or if they be like, we're just going to buy the peasant version, I'll be like, maybe I'll buy 3 days early. I'll just be like super OP.
Then fuck them, yeah. Yeah, so I think like if so what's your stance on this as an overall strategy, right?
Oh, I'm very much in the I'm very much in the party of the game's not 3 days early. It's you get it 3 days late if you don't want to pony up.
Yeah,
its release date is the first.
Yeah. It's equivalent of them grabbing you and shaking the coins out of your pockets.
The other thing is I have no problem if people want to spend their money on something like that.
Yeah,
I also don't have a problem with people going, I don't have time to play this game, but it has an XP booster, therefore I can buy it and it'll cut my game time down and it will allow me to experience this game at least instead of missing out completely. Go for it. That's fine. I don't care. You play the game how you want to play it. It's your money. If you want to spend money on it, it's your prerogative. It's not like it changes my experience of the title. I will play it for longer. You'll get it done faster. But if that's the only way you get to experience it, I would prefer them to have the option of being able to experience it than not.
Hmm.
I think that was my argument to... It was Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah.
Because Dragon's Dogma 2 is a fucking long game, but it was fantastic. And if the only way you were going to be able to experience it was to buy the XP boosts, do it. Doesn't affect me. Makes no difference to my gameplay. Hmm. But I would prefer someone to have that option to be able to enjoy something than to just miss out completely.
Hmm. But yeah, as we're highlighting, like, you know... GTA 6. Like, what if GTA 6 does this? It will do this.
And if it doesn't, everyone will fucking buy it and in the early stages.
Yeah. Everyone,
no one's going to want to miss out on it.
Yeah, so essentially 2K will be like, hey, it's 100, you know, we use Australian prices this time, $120, or for $150, you get it 3 days early. They're going to make fucking $30 on every person.
Actually, it'll depend, really, because if they do what they did with GTA 5, where GTA Online didn't launch for a week after,
they will probably still do that. I think that.
Then I don't think it'll matter.
That's a very good point.
I think people are like, whatever.
But
I can wait.
From a fear of missing out, from a content space, everyone will want to play it.
Yeah.
Would I buy it early? Yes. Because I fucking love GTA. And
so I don't think we probably won't get codes
for it, so we'll have to buy it.
I don't think I would if there was no access to online early. Because I think I could finish it in a week anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm just more susceptible.
Yeah.
Speaking of susceptibility, let's get into the quick bits.
The first line is also incorrect. It's and Samurai Jack.
Yeah, we'll come to that. I'm skipping that. I'm talking about getting tricked. So the next one, WWE wrestlers are joining season 5 of Warzone. Do you know how fucking hard it was for me to go, oh. And I was like, okay, I bet you it's some wrestlers I don't fucking care about. All right, cool. Then I saw Rey Mysterio. I was like, yeah, I'm not there yet. Then I saw Cody Rhodes. I was like, oh, fuck, Cody Rhodes. That could... Rhea fucking Ripley. I was like... I don't play any fucking Call of Duty at all. But very similar to when Fortnite were like, here's Nathan Drake. Here's Aloy. Here's Kratos. I'm like... Would I just to have that?
They did Ripley dirty though.
Oh, that's yeah, because everyone they both
like a full pack with like gun skins, and Rhea Ripley is just Rhea Ripley.
She's just a skin, but she looks fucking fantastic. By the way, it looks exactly like Rippers, and like nothing would make me happier than like running around a corner as mommy
just
and
then just
blowing people right, like just wrecking them, killing them, because you know Rhea bloody Ripley, and she's incredible. As Max mentioned, both Beetlejuice and Samurai Jack have been added to Multiverses, which I forgot was back, and I thought I had to buy it again, so I was like, fuck this game. Turns out I could just download the old one, and it's still good. Thumbs up.
Wasn't it free?
Huh?
Wasn't it free?
Yeah, but we got codes, so we got all the deluxe doohickers.
That's right.
This is an incorrect. So Fallout the Amazon series is up for 16 Emmy nominations.
Oh, yeah. No, not 26.
But I believe there's like 26 TV, like, you know, transmedia gaming to fucking TV award nominations. Apparently. But yeah, Fallout's fucking killing it. Like good old
Fallout nominated for 16 Emmys, including Outstanding Drama Series.
Yeah, so Drama Series is a big one. Walter Goggins is getting a big old lump as lead actor.
Yep.
It's also fucking incredible in Sons of Anarchy, just saying.
Oh, I still haven't watched Fallout.
Watch Fallout! Well, that's good shit. Mm. So there's that. Yeah.
It's good. Oh, mute in the chat, talking about pre-ordering things for early. Pre-ordered Dragon Ball Z Sparking Deluxe for 3 days early access.
Yeah,
worth.
Yeah, but like, I think that once again, if it's competitive fighting game, people will need that extra time.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how you get you. That's it for the quick bits.
Yeah, not many quick bits. A lot of game coming out this week though. So coming out on the 22nd of July, we have Punch Club 2 Iron Fist PS5 PS4. On the 23rd of July, we have Conscript, PS5, PS4, Exophobia, PS5, PS4, F1 Manager 2024, PS5, PS4.
Well, that was Retro already out.
Probably.
F1 Manager. Or there was an F1 game that came out recently.
Retro Revengers, PS5, PS4. The Star Named Eos, PS5. Werewolf of the Apocalypse Purgatory, PS5. On the 25th of July, we have Arranger, a role-playing puzzling adventure, PS5. Daydream Forgotten Sorrow, PS5, PS4. Scare 7 Complete, PS5, PS4. Earth Defense Force 6, PS5, PS4. Exhausted Man, that's me right now, PS5, PS4. Hairdresser Simulator, this one for Ryan.
Okay, PS4. So look, I've seen this, and I'm going to play it so bad, and I'm going to fuck people's haircuts so bad. Like, because if it's got like simulator jank to it, where it's all like dodgy, I'm gonna give people the shittest haircuts.
It needs to be a VR title, so you can hear the old, hold it and then cut above the line.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Harvest Days.
PS5, I don't know what game that is, but that may be the game of the week already, because it sounds like farming games.
House of Golf 2, PS5.
Oh, that could be pretty good too.
Emco RPG Selection, PS5, PS4. Lakeview Cabin Collection, PS5, PS4.
It's just a bunch of pictures.
White Day 2, The Flower That Tells Lies, PS5.
It's racist.
And on the 26th of July, we have Frontier Hunter, Urza's Wheel of Fortune, PS5.
Cool. Well, look, the answer for me is Hairdresser Simulator, because just out of pure curiosity. It looks like butt. I have watched the trailers, it looks like butt, and I want to play it. Because like, the thing that I love about simulator games is their jank. The jank is key.
Great.
Have you pulled it up?
I'm looking at it now.
All right, well, tell me what you're looking at. Like, explain it in your words.
So I'm watching someone who's clearly getting their hair colored silver for some reason, and then there's a person holding a fucking like shower wand, and they're just washing it out, and it's now brown again. And for some reason, there's just barrels of money. They're also cleaning their shop. They're like dusting windows and shit. I'm like, is this House Flipper? Or... Because obviously you can you get to furnish your salon how you want to.
That's the big part of the simulators, man. Like Food Truck Simulator, which I saw recently.
Here you go. You can buy Hairdresser Simulator and House Flipper in a bundle.
I already have House Flipper.
Clearly made by the same peeps.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because it's the same that, like, yeah, it's a Gas Station Simulator Food Truck Simulator was done by Drago.
There's free DLC. Hairdresser Simulator, Beards and Mustaches, Your Beard, Your Rules. So you could, like, Sweeney Todd people.
Oh, I'm going to have just bad mullets, horrible facial hair. What's that medical condition where you just forget half of your body exists? Like, so you just shave only one half of your face. Do that. A lot of Hitler mustaches, not going to lie.
This is fucking terrible.
It looks bad. I want to play it so bad. All right. Let's wrap this bad boy up, Max. Let's not talk about these things anymore.
I'm not going to leave for work in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Go.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on the YouTube. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to this on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, count out patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you buy shirts, other assorted shit without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. All right, now fucking run and work. Go.